This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So the only thing left to say is, you in? Order now on the McDonald's app, and you can also get reward points delivered too. So that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus. Rewards registration required, points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Skipper Schindler has a chance to write his name in Huddersfield Town legend. And he takes that chance!
It's the dawning of a new era. It's the warm-up episode 136. It's your host, Brady Frost. And Tom Bradshaw is with me, having spent the last week exclusively on Andre Breitenreiter's Wikipedia page. Tom, how are you doing?
I am not bad, Mr. Guardian. How are you? Are you all right?
I'm very good, obviously, because I've been in a national newspaper. I'm very smug about it, and I'm going to use it against everyone. No, actually, I do want to say thanks to all the lovely comments I got for that. That was really good because I was saying to you before we recorded, Tom, I was expecting a little bit of a pushback. I got one calling me a bit soft, and you said some guy said I should wear shin pads. Or I do wear shin pads. No, it's good. It's good. Came out of the blue. I think my highlight has to be Cozzy. Saying he loves our team name, Club Tropicana Drinks FC. So I think
it's a great team name. It is a great team name.
It's good, but as I found out, you used it for your team at uni.
Yeah, it did. I mean, it's a very good one, and we weren't that great as well. Although we got into the equivalent of what was the Champions League of our five-a-side. I had a little chant and everything about Club Tropicana Drinks FC being in the Champions League.
I was playing in Huddersfield, but I was living in Leeds, and I used to drive over with James, and we used to play it the last song to hype ourselves up. So and we also used to wear pink Real Madrid shirts, so I'm just thinking, you know, the sight of us driving through Huddersfield in my crappy hair, pink kit, listening to Wham Full Blast.
I mean, it had to be. We had bright, luminous orange, and then I created this iron-on badge for the kit as well. So, yeah, we were. You got to be colourful with a name like that, haven't you?
You have. I'm sure Town fans want to listen to this rather than talk about the new manager, but I certainly want to talk about it. But maybe we should talk about it, Tom. Obviously, this is going out on Wednesday, and we will have a special episode on Andre Breitenreiter, myself and Mr. Matt Shaw, the podfather himself. But we are going to talk a little bit about it, because let's be honest, Watford, is it that interesting a game without the new man in charge? Probably not. He says, trying to hype up a preview show that he does every week with you. Let's do some previewing, shall we, Tom? Town's new manager, he will take his team to Vicarage Road to face Watford for his first game in charge. The Hornets ended a run of four straight defeats last week with a 1-0 away win against Rotherham. My favourite stat about Watford, Tom, they're 11th in the table. They've won 11, they've drawn 11 and lost 11. That is
beautiful.
Look at mid-table in the dictionary. That's mid-table, isn't it? Textbook. And also what was quite interesting looking into it is... and Stephen Chicken pointed this out, actually, but Valerie and Ishmael's side, they haven't actually won at home since the end of November when they beat Norwich 3-2. You're nodding because I know you said you had some stats. Have I just nicked all your stats?
Yeah, well, they might as well finish the podcast now, because that's basically what I'd looked into. But yeah, I mean, it's a terrible, terrible run, not just at home. They actually picked up more points away this season than they have at home on average. So yeah, I mean, they're on a bit of a poor run. It's one draw in the last five. So that does include a game against Leicester City and Ipswich, but I think it also includes Stoke and Bristol City and Cardiff. So it's not like they're not coming up. They weren't pulling any trees up, you know what I mean, against maybe some big hitters. So, yeah, it's a pretty poor run they're on at the moment at home.
Yeah. I don't know what you feel about Watford, because historically, like, you kind of look at Watford as a bit of a yo-yo team in between the Premier League and the Championship. But now I just kind of, I don't know, like, they're a very, like, I can't judge them. Like, obviously, the game that probably sticks most in town fans' minds recently is the 3-2 win we had last season to Warnock, because that was a really good win. But I don't know, if you're a neutral, I kind of look at this and, like, I don't think you'd be surprised if we maybe got a result. But I also, do you know what I mean? I think because they're so mid-table, I kind of feel like this probably has draw written all over it. But I don't know if you agree, Tom.
I think from what, when I spoke to a couple of mates who support them in the past, this season is quite a big transition slash, I think the owners maybe are going through some, not like a big financial trouble, but there's a bit more restrictions on them at the moment. I mean, they used to be chopping and changing managers left, right and centre. It seems like they're actually going to stick with Ishmael for a bit, especially after that quite hilarious announcement of him signing the extension, where everyone thought it was the corner flag and they thought, blooming out, they've got rid of another one. But yeah, it was to announce that he's staying on for another couple of years. And I think the kind of players that they've been bringing in, there's a bit more movement. A bit more movement between the, is it Udinese, isn't it, that they're kind of partnered with? So starting to see a bit more of that, I think, again, because they're not really spending too much on players like they have been in the past. So I think it's one of those where I think they're trying to maybe find a bit more consistency, and you can only do what they were doing for so long, I think. I mean, that we're turning into the new Watford with the amount of managers we go through. So I think they'll stick with Ishmael for hopefully a couple of seasons and give him a chance to build something.
Yeah, it's hard to judge him as a manager, really, I think, because obviously he had that really good season with Barnsley where they kind of, you know, surprised everyone and, you know, exceeded expectations, and then it didn't really work out for him at West Brom, and now he's kind of here, and like you said, they're like mid-table. So yeah, it's a bit of an interesting one. I mean, it's probably a good time to talk about the new manager, because one of Kalana's question this week is about Andrea Brighton, right? But Tom, as I mentioned, we're going to kind of cover it in a little bit more detail. When I say more detail, we're going to hear from people who actually know about his career rather than myself, who's like, oh, yeah, it's not Michael Duff. What are your thoughts on the new man, like, for this game?
I'm pretty excited about it as a idea, I guess. I mean, you clipped it and put it out, didn't you, saying how I was hoping we were going for something a bit different. We've gone for something different. So yeah, for me, it is exciting. No one was ever going to be sure on keeping us up. So I wouldn't have felt kind of guaranteed survival with anyone. I think at least with this, from what I've read about the kind of football that he plays, I'm looking forward to it. I think hopefully we're going to maybe see a bit more of a follow-on from what we've been seeing under John Worthington, but maybe there'll be a bit less, I'd say, naivety in some of the decisions throughout the game, because I think John Worthington's been brilliant, and he's brought fans back on side. He's shown that these players can perform and play well, and and do the football that Huddersfield Town fans like to see, which it's not just, you know what I mean? It's not just passing the ball around. I think Town fans just like to see aggression, trying to win the ball back and playing quick, playing fast. So I think as long as he kind of sticks to those principles, he should keep everyone on side. And we now know that we can score goals all over the pitch, really. I think people have really chipped in these last couple of games. So I think especially that Chef Wednesday one, are still like when the two strikers go off, you're like, bloody hell, what's going to happen here? And then you have people kind of stepping up and showing what they can do. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I also think players will respect him. I think they might, I mean, we didn't really know who he was, but you kind of look at the kind of calibre of team that he has managed before and you think, right, you've got someone serious here, whereas you got Fovers coming in who was just an assistant coach. And you know, it's got to make a difference. It has got to make a difference for me. Like, it's that kind of knowing what they've done in the past and then I guess just the kind of person they are. And from the little clips I've seen of him, he seems very team oriented and giving me a bit kind of, well, I mean, it's German manager style for me, kind of bit Wagner vibes maybe.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose I saw online, I think Ollie Fisher might have pointed it out, but he was making the point that if you look at it on paper, it's probably the best appointment Town have ever made in a manager. I don't know if you do you agree with that, or do you think that's maybe recency bias? And
as in like where they've been before and what they've done, like, yeah.
Yeah, just spoke about the CV and stuff.
I'd say it's definitely up there. Like if you were going to just put names on paper, yeah, and who we've pointed in the last, what would you say, 20 years? He's way ahead at what he's done in the past and stuff and kind of the teams that were after him before he come to us. So what was it, Besiktas were after him, and then just a few days before he was announced, I remember seeing I think it was Hamburg fans calling for him potentially because they're in the second tier now, I think, so looking for a bounce back. And I think he was there before, was he, Brady, maybe? But it's Schalke as well and things like that. So yeah, it's massively up there, isn't it? I can't think of someone else who kind of has come in with such a caliber other than Mr. Warnock.
Yeah, and I think it's interesting because we were talking about it last week, weren't we? And we're like umming and ahhing about, do you give it Worthy until the end of the season? We both kind of said no, really. And I think John Worthington's done absolutely fantastic, as a caretaker. I don't think you could ask for much more, really. I mean, I was at the whole game and it was so gutting to lose like that. But I think, you know, kind of went, at least we went for it. It was just a bit of a sucker punch at the end. But yeah, and I think, Ian Kilroy or Killer like made the point on the main pod that, you know, the best thing Worthy's done is like giving them time to think about this and bring someone in like that. And I think that's a really good point because, you know, it's really strange because I think the mood, you know, and it'll be interesting to see with his first game. And I think, you know, Town fans love to, I think we'll have a good number down there, particularly with it being his first game. But the mood feels completely different. And I think it's, you know, like you say, he doesn't have to do much. But then also, in terms of results, we're actually a little bit closer to the relegation zone than we were, you know, before. So it's a really interesting one. Like I say, I would encourage anyone who's not listened to it to listen to our special episode because there's some really interesting insight on it. But like you say, Tom, any managerial appointment at this point, it's not guaranteed of safe of relegation. But I suppose I'd ask you, how do you feel about, you know, again, here we are talking and he's not managed his first game yet. But how do you feel compared to if Town had gone for like a Michael Duff type?
I worried for the kind of Michael Duff, Paul Heckenbottom type that we'd end up reverting to very kind of Darren Moore. I think for me, their type of attacking football is a different brand to the the John Worthington attacking football, which I think sometimes maybe it doesn't work, but it gets Town fans on your side. Whereas they, for me, fell in the kind of Darren Moore brackets. And we saw what happened when Moore tried to play his attacking football. We got absolutely battered. So I would not have been optimistic if kind of either of those two came in, to be honest. I think my view was you bring in something different, exciting, or you bring in something maybe young and up and coming and long term. I think we've gone down that kind of exciting and different, because you look at kind of his record at other teams, he doesn't really stick around for long. I think it's max 2 years in it. So I think we know we're not gonna have someone here for 4 or 5 years, even if things go well. I think even when things have gone well at other clubs, he's dropped off a bit. Like, it looks very similar to how David Wagner just goes about his stuff. I think kind of a really good short burst coming in, maybe a whole season of pretty decent stuff, and then it maybe fizzles out a bit. But yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I mean, what are your thoughts on him? Are you excited about it?
I'm really pleased that we haven't gone for a Duff type, not because I think Michael Duff, I wanted him in the summer. I think that made a lot of sense, given the type of team we were at that point, and it'd be similar to Warnock. But I just think, you know, we did polls and stuff like that, and like, I get it from one perspective, because look, we're on a third manager of a season for the second season in a row. It's not, we're unfortunately we're beggars, we're not choosers. But judging by the fan reaction to Duff, and you know, again, there was those rumours that Alan Nixon put about how, you know, Duff was offered the job, but only if he relocated. And Kevin Nagle on X, formerly known as Twitter, seemed to suggest that there's not much truth in that. But just, I think we did a poll as well, actually, and the fan response was a bit not particularly excited about it. So I'm just pleased it is that left field option. Like you said, we Town fans like something different. And look, let's be honest, it's a lot more exciting to have a foreign manager who you don't know much about, who's it's their first job in English football, and you look at his CV. I think it is exciting, and it's that's probably what we need, you know. Even though you could probably argue the safer choice would have been to go for Michael Duff. So I think it's really interesting. I mean, you know, like you say, he's got a really impressive CV. From what we heard from kind of the experts in that deep dive on him, his team seemed to like get their methods really quickly, and like you start to see a real impact, which is exactly what we need where we are currently. And like you say, he's not around forever, but again, it's kind of, I don't really mind that. I sort of feel sure you want to build something and like have someone forever, but we've seen with players, if we have really good players, they're going to get snapped up by a bigger team with bigger resources. And I don't necessarily mind that, because that shows we're doing something right, you know. I mean, even the best, like, you know, his name's Brighton Writer. We have another Brighton writer that we like, Mr. David Hartrick. And, you know, look at Brighton. They get poached all the time for managers, players, and they continue to rebuild because they've got the infrastructure and the positive behind. So, yeah, I think, I suppose that's my long way of saying that I'm quite excited. And I'm pleased that the fan base is excited, because I think we need that, particularly we're coming to the business end of the season. So, speaking of which, we talked about the fans. It is time for Kwana's question. It is an Andre Brighton writer special, if you like. And here is Kwana's questions jingle.
A few changes, things change, but also a lot of things are still the same.
Okay, so the question we wanted to ask you fans was, what are you hoping to see from Andre Brighton Wright's first game in charge of Huddersfield Town? So I'm going to read out some of the listener responses, and I'll ask Mr. Tom Bradshaw over there. You'll hear from myself. Ian Wilson says, Watford are very beatable. Only play the players that genuinely don't need a break. They looked out on their feet versus Hull and should be able to admit if they can't put in a massive shift in for 90 minutes, you get found out against decent opposition up the town. The Duke says, keep the attacking mindset when we have the ball, but add in some game management and tactical awareness. then get rid of the underdog small team mentality and start punching up. No free hits or happy to be here rhetoric. And Jodie Calvert, she says, more of the same. Players enjoying the football, playing with freedom, creativity and an attacking mindset. The results will follow. Hashtag all about the triangles. Hashtag simple game. Tom, I'm guessing you're in agreement. It's kind of a continuation of what we've seen under Worthy.
Yeah, definitely. I think, Watford are beatable. I think was the first point, wasn't it? And I would agree that the kind of, I look at the stats from the last few Watford games, and I mean Rotherham created loads of chances against them the other day. Probably were a little bit unlucky not to get a draw or maybe even 3 points. And I think the credit to Watford there is that they defended very well against a kind of big physical team. But I don't think we're really that, to be honest. I don't think we're kind of like Rotherham this season. So and then look at the other few games that they played, and I think if you putting out a similar squad in these last few games, and how Worthy's been getting the lads to play, then we can really have a go at them. And I know that Watford have been giving away kind of a lot of free kicks outside the box, quite reasonably close range, and we saw how dangerous especially we could be from those against Sunderland. I think I don't know who our free kick specialist is now, but like it was quite amazing that in one game we saw two kind of well-worked free kicks and that looked like they had some sort of a plan, and compared to maybe what had come before. So I think totally keep go at them, play the players that fit. I think there was a few questions asked by quite a few players. I don't know what you thought after Saturday, Brady, but quite a few questioning Hoggy's maybe fitness, and is it time to give Kasumu that kind of step up or not? Is he ready for that? A lot saying about Kasumu and Matos in the middle, maybe.
Yeah, I think it's hard as well because it was three games in 1 week, and I think it's a good point with Hogg. Like, we've said this, like, love Jonathan Hogg, so pleased he's got a mural. I think he deserves a testimonial. Absolute legend. I think if I'm being really critical, I think his importance to us kind of highlights where we've maybe gone wrong. Don't get me wrong, I still love him in the squad, and we did a thing with Louis a few weeks ago where I'd certainly keep him. I think he's out of contract going to transfer out. Certainly keep him, but one, he can't play 46 games because he's got that recurring hip injury and he's getting on a bit. But two, I just don't think you need him for every game. And like you said, maybe it is time to have the Kasumu Matos. The thing is, Kasumu, he's quite good at breaking the lines and brings a lot of energy, whereas that's not Hogg's game. So, again, it'll be really interesting to see with the new coach how we kind of set up. But it's interesting because it's a bit, I think Hogg is very Marmite in some ways. Like, people love him, but some people really love him no matter what, and some people like are first to criticise. And I think this is why I'd be interested to see under the new coach, because from all accounts, he's not, he's quite likable about the players, but every manager picks Jonathan Hogg.
So yeah. No one's come in, have they, and like not had him involved straight away. And I mean, he is, though, but I don't even think you say he must be such a professional, but I think Town fans know it. He has potentially been consistently one of Town's best players in the last, I don't know, what, 7-8 years? I mean, when he started, there was a bit of like, I thought he was going to be, but I think he wasn't being played in the right position then. But yeah, what a player he's been for Town. So, and obviously, there's not been a manager come in who doesn't respect him. So, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, to answer the question, I suppose it's a bit like when Wagner came in. Obviously, we're at the point where we need results. But I just want to see a change. Like, and it's difficult because Worthington's done a good job, but I think with Wagner, one of the great things, you know, and again, hindsight, but even though we lost his first two games, you could see what we're trying to do. Yeah. And that's what we want to see. Like, you know, I know he's only, I think he only time of recording this on Tuesday. He only took charge, you know, the first training session today. But I think we just want to see what, you know, potentially, you know, we want to see an identity and a style. I think that's the main thing. And yeah, it is, you know, we do have the players to do it. And I think hopefully a bit of a break. I think part of the whole game was, you know, we were just a bit knackered because we were playing in such an intense way. But it'll be interesting to see. But I agree with you. I think Watford are certainly there for the taking. So
yeah,
we'll see. But we'll take a quick break now. But before we do, if you're going away to Watford, why don't you order some beers now on magicrockbrewing.com? Get 10% off any online orders that you do with our code AHTTT10. Yeah, and you can take them down for the drink. And or just order them if you're, you know, watching the game at home. Obviously, you can't watch the game at home if you're in the UK. Wink. But if you are watching, catch up on the highlights, I don't know. Yeah, thanks to Magic Rock for sponsoring. And make sure you use that code. And we'll come back and we'll talk a little bit more about this game. And we'll answer some questions from the mailbag.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why United Healthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Cozzy, what's your favourite away day?
Matt, it's got to be the City Ground at Nottingham. Just old school stadium, you're right near the pitch, great atmosphere. But there's nothing like playing at home. Same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app.
At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Okay. So, Tom, really hard to know how Town are going to set up here. Again, referring to the excellent We Are Terriers Substack from Mr. Stephen Chicken, he seems to think Brighton right uses a 3-1-4-2, and Worthington's done something similar, you know, on the ball in recent weeks. What do you want to like? How would you do it in terms of setup? I mean, it'll be really interesting to see what he goes for, but I think particularly with that whole game. Because I went to said game on Saturday, I did get the feeling we were crying out for a bit of a. It was a game where, the longer it went on, we needed that presence up front, that striker, and obviously Bergsall came on and affected the game. But and then Wardy came on, but Wardy wasn't fit. But I was a bit surprised Radulovic didn't get a run out. I felt that was a game for him. So, yeah, what would you like to see for this?
I think it's hard, isn't it? I think Bergsorg has been coming on and being brilliant impact player. So I don't know if you kind of keep him on the bench for now. I think I look at their kind of lineup. They seem to be a 4-3-3 is what Ishmael plays. And has been, especially in these last few games. So I don't know if Town need to counteract the kind of the three up top with being a bit more defensive. I mean, Worthington has played 4 at the back, hasn't he, a bit recently. So I don't know if you almost want to match it, but I guess he's not. He seems, like you're saying, he seems to be a very three at the back kind of bloke, and I guess when you've got the wing backs for that, it works really well. And I think kind of Jackson and Spencer can do those jobs pretty well. Even if you want to go a bit more attacking, Thomas and Karoma have done those as well this season. So I'd maybe start Radders. I think after the Wednesday kind of going off, I think Worthington. And I wouldn't be surprised if John Worthington thought he was a bit soft, like you playing five-a-side, Brady.
I did get elbowed in the ribs really hard.
So I don't know if Worthington maybe just needs to see one or two bit more fight there. So, but I don't think that Watford back line is as bruising as the Chef Wednesday one, and maybe you could see him have a bit of joy against the kind of those two centre backs. And it looks like Ben Hammer's been playing in net, I think, for the
last
Hammer time. So yeah, that's also gonna be an interesting kind of moment, especially for Town fans behind the goal when Mr. Hamer comes running over.
Tell you what, Ben Hammer's going to have a nail on. He's going to be nailed on that he had a good performance against us.
I think more attacking for me, Brady. I mean, I don't know what your thoughts are on it, kind of lineup wise. I think keep having a go at him. I don't think we should be turning up, being worried about, do you know what I mean, having to sit back here, because especially their last few kind of games, they've not kind of outstattered anyone. They don't really keep the ball too much. They're obviously on a bit of a bad run, especially at home. So I think you can't let them settle in and give them an easy time and make them think, oh, do you know what? Actually, we're doing all right here today. You need to get at them straight away. And it's like some of those. I think one of my favourite moments in this Worthy regime was, I think it was the Sunderland game where we had the kickoff, and after something like 5 seconds, we were on the edge of their box because we just played so direct so quickly. And I don't think Sunderland were kind of expecting that. And I think it's a proper breath of fresh air. It is. So yeah, that's I don't know if I've even answered the question there, Brady, but yeah. What about you?
You've done what we like to call on the podcast game. You've done some nice filibustering there. Mm. No, I think it's a good point. It's really hard to say, isn't it? Because, like, you know, it's kind of going back to Quan's question. I think it's all about attitude. But I suppose, yes, he has a body of work that the Watford analysts can look at. But I think maybe this is, if you want to look at it in a positive way, you know, they won't really know how he wants to set up this team. You know, he might have ideas, so I think that's maybe an advantage for us. Yes, it's a short period of adaptation for the players, but, you know, I think one of the things we heard is he seems like a pretty smart guy, you know. So I think in some ways, I actually thought the whole result was perfect for him, because it's, you've seen Town, you know, yes, they've gone behind, but you've seen what they can do, and you've seen some positives, but it's not a good result, and there's things you could do to make it better. So I think he'll maybe take a lot from that, hopefully. But yeah, it'll be interesting. I think I would maybe go for a striker. I would be tempted to do some rotation, because I think everyone looked a little bit knackered.
Yeah,
I think Matos is. I'd still include, but maybe you'd start Bergzorg in this one. I think Kroma's done really well, but he looks a little bit leggy. I think Sorba could maybe do with a rest, but he's so crucial to us.
He is. Do you know what, Brady? Absolute massive shout out / flowers to Sorba Thomas, because people absolutely berated him for, I don't know, for no reason, in my opinion. Especially last season, and I mean, at the start of this year, there was still a bit of, like, I don't know, just random attacks on Sorba Thomas. And I would say, I mean, it's him and Helic who have been kind of the players that have dragged us out of the shit quite a bit this season. And Sorba Thomas has been extremely consistent, and also, I feel like he's shown some leadership this year, which has been really interesting to see that kind of development of him. So, yeah, I think well done, Sorba Thomas, and possibly our best player this season so far.
Yeah, I'd argue. I think you could make the case very easily. He deserves our player this season, based on what we've seen so far. you know, Darren Moore wasn't, you know, his tenure just wasn't great. It didn't work out, but he was always the one who was playing for him. You know, I think Sauber's added so much to his game in terms of off the ball and working hard. And look, we always know he was great whipping balls in and stuff like that. But I think he's really developed this season as an overall player. He has added, you know, some goals to his game as well. That finishing in Southampton was very good as well. I completely agree with you, Tom. Not that we're a podcast that does give out flowers, but you know, it's not a thing. But I would give out flowers to Sauber Thomas in case anyone's like, "What the bloody hell are you talking about?" It's just giving credit, I suppose, is another way of saying it. Yeah. So plenty of credit needs to go to Sauber Thomas. So yeah, with that in mind, ignore what I said. I think he needs to start.
So that's it, though, Brady. I kind of agree with you. You're relying on him quite a lot, and he probably does need maybe just a bit of a break in the legs, maybe. But I don't know who then becomes maybe Della as your kind of that driver forward. But I think you miss out Sauber massively when he's not on that pitch.
Mm. Yeah, I'd start him, and maybe if we're looking positive, maybe you'd take him off. I don't think he'd like being taken off, but I'd if Bergsorg's fit, because obviously he looked a little bit, he was limping a little bit towards the end of the whole game.
Mm.
I'd probably start him if he's fit. I'd maybe get Radders in there, just because, particularly with the whole game, when they were kind of camped in their box defending. Again, it depends on game state and stuff, but we were playing some, you know, we kind of needed to play some intricate stuff to unlock. And Radulovic, like my friend Andreas Serbkrat always is going to have a go at me for getting the pronunciation wrong. Big man Bojan. I think his style of like laying it off and like bringing others into play might be quite good. And again, like Helix, you know, could come back in this. I just think it may be a bit of freshness. I don't think you want to change too much, but just a little bit of freshness could help as well. But it'd be interesting because, you know, as Neil Wayne always used to famously say when we appointed Carlos Corberant, you know, there's always one player who does better under a new manager than you expect. And he'd always give the example of Mateusz Klich at Leeds. So it'd be kind of interesting to look out for that. Quite excited for Saturday. With that in mind, Tom, what's your match prediction?
They're not scoring bags loads at home, but they're not also conceding. I think their goal difference at home is something like a +5. I think it's something like 26 scored at home and then 21 conceded, something along those lines, close to that. So like there's a goal there to be had, I think. It's just whether you can maybe defend well above. I think if you get at them early on, especially the kind of form that they're in, not just at home, I think in general they've not really been on the greatest run. I mean, it sounded like such a relief that they won on Saturday against Rotherham. So I don't know if that might give them a bit of confidence, a bit more of a bounce. But I look at the stats they've had, especially in the last few games and against Rotherham, who... Sorry, any Rotherham fans that are randomly listening to this Huddersfield Town Watford
preview. Yeah, what are you doing? Get away from it.
They are the worst team in the league, one of the worst teams in the Championship ever, potentially. And they actually were unlucky to not kind of come away with something against that Watford team. They're very attacking down the wings and like to take a lot of long shots is what I've noticed looking at some of their highlights. So I think if you kind of, maybe you do that, maybe three at the back and then the two wing backs is very important, but it's more defensive with maybe Brody and Jackson potentially doing the work down there, or Nakayama maybe could be useful. So I think if you keep that kind of quiet, I mean, Aspria is in it. It was on a bit of a decent run. He scored an absolute screamer. But that, I mean, again, another screamer outside the box. This scored against Rotherham. Brilliant finish from him. But he is on a run. So it's one of those. If you keep the form players quiet, you kind of keep the lads in the middle who reasonably, is it Sema in the middle, who's a quite a tidy little player who been creating stuff for the last couple of games. And then you keep former players like Tom Ince coming on and scoring quiet. I think there's a massive opportunity for Town to get a rare 3 points away this season. So I do think Town can win this game, and I think Town will win this game, Brady. It is going to be a 2-1 Town win, and we'll go for Sauber Thomas score again, and let's go Danny Ward coming on and scoring, because he likes scoring away at Watford.
He does. Yeah, that's a good shout. It's really hard to predict. Well, I don't know why we care, though, because I don't think we ever get them right. I think we'll see a performance. It's difficult, though. I'd feel more confident if maybe had a little bit of time, the new Andre Brighton writer. So when I was thinking about this, I felt like this is probably a 1-1, which wouldn't be, you know, a point from away from home is never bad.
No.
However, playing Leeds the week after, got West Brom coming up, but we do have easier games coming. But so I can't see us losing this game. Famous last words, clip this. So I'm going to go 1-1, but I wouldn't be surprised if we did win 2-1. Watford. 11th in the league, not going down, not really going to make a push for the playoffs.
Yeah.
So I feel in some ways this is probably an ideal game for us rather than playing someone at the end or at the bottom or the top of the table who've got something to play for. So yeah, so I'm gonna go 1-1, and I'm going to go for Rudino Bonker to get his first goal. I think I could see another, like you say, free kick routines. We look quite good, so I can maybe see him getting one from there.
It's definitely going to be one of those where, if teams take those chances, I mean, their last few games at home, they've created about, I think it's between your kind of 12 and 18 shot marks, but they're not scoring from it. So, but then they're allowing the opposition to at least get in double figures as well. I mean, I think it was Cardiff the other week where they lost 1-0, and I think Cardiff were having about 12 shots in that game and coming away with that 1-0 win. So I think if Lee Nichols has a very good game, and maybe this Watford shooting is all off target like it seems to have been recently, then yeah, it seems like if you're asking for first away game as manager, it's not bad. It's probably up there as a kind of, I'm not saying easy, but like you're not going to Leicester away, are you, or Southampton away? So I think he's got a very good chance to get his first points on the board.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, before we go, we did get a mailbag question, Tom. So let's get it answered.
You've got mail.
It's from Guy Bradley. Guy, thanks so much for sending questions. You always send a question, so, and we love it. And I like this one because you know exactly who you're talking to here. You said, with Andre Brighton Wright always flashing the Stone Island Terrace badge like an ultra, who'd win in a fight, him or the scary-looking Christoph Müller? He does look hard, doesn't he, Tom? He looks like, I won't mess with him, Andre. Looks like he's seen some stuff.
Yeah, but I think Bueller, just different class. Like, I would, if I was looking at them both, I'd be, yeah, nowhere near Christoph, I think. But Christoph was such a lovely bloke, and having kind of, I had a very minor interaction with him when him and David left, and I did that artwork, the thank you David artwork. Christoph got in touch with me and wanted one printing, so I got to send him one, which was very nice. Send him and David a print. But yeah, Christoph Bueller, what an absolute scary bloke he was on the touchline. So I'd back Christoph, I think. I mean, come on, you can wear Stone Island, doesn't mean you're hard, does it?
No, true. Yeah, maybe I have to go for Christoph. We don't know what Andre's like yet, you know.
No, but, I've just seen too many smiley photos of him, which is nice. But yeah, I haven't seen a really scary looking shot of him. He's a very nice, smiley man by the looks of it. It's going to be very interesting to see what he's like on the sidelines, isn't it?
Yeah, very. Yeah, I want. Well, the club have obviously got their unrestricted, so it'd be good to see what he's like when you know he's in the dugout. But yeah, I think we're both Christoph here. I agree with you. What I think makes people more menacing as well is when they are really nice, but then you've also seen the bad side to them. Do you know what I mean? If you see someone aggressive all the time, it's you know, you're not too worried. But it's when the people who are quite calm and then when they go. Yeah, so we're going to go Christoph.
When you Google search Andre Brighton Reiter, pretty much every photo is him smiling. When you Google search Christoph Bueller, it's all very serious and arms folded and frowning, pretty much. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, I just off that, I'm going Christoph. There I feel like Christoph can get a good headbutt in there as well.
Yeah, true. And this is why you guys listen to the preview show. We're going to leave it there, but thanks to everyone for sending in the questions and responding to Kwan's questions. Thanks to Tom for putting up with me as always. Thanks to listeners for putting up with us as always. And thanks to Magic Rock who sponsor this. I'm sure when they had the sponsorship in mind, they'd expect us to be talking about who's winning the final. So, no, cheers to them. We will be back to preview the next game, which is Leeds United. Oh, God, I'm already not looking forward to that, given how everyone's going to go a little bit intense, shall we say, us included. We'll look out for that. But they're not bothered about it, obviously. Right, we will leave it there. Ta-ta for now and up the town. Ta-ta, play up. Bring the car back to Huddersfield.
Lads, what's your favourite 90th minute goal?
Got to be Heffley against Leeds. A shot from Moy and sliding in at the death, Michael Heffley. Great finish to the game. Shared with my family, only made better by ordering McDonald's via McDelivery afterwards. 3 points, McNugget share box, spot on. Order McDelivery now by the McDonald's app. You in.
At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up Quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's Quince.com/upgrade.